But let's just visit it once more this morning. Amen. Proverbs chapter 3. I want to talk about trusting God to take you through it all. We began this message, I think, 3 or 4 times in the past. We've never got very far into it. And I'm glad to have God's release to pursue it a little bit further this morning. My wife was asking me, how do you prepare for the radio broadcast? Because I can usually go in and very quickly get God's heart and be able to move in a direction. And after all of these years of ministry, all I really need now is a seed thought, something God seeds within me. The scriptures kind of keep floating around in my heart and head all of the time. Amen. I'm a biblically oriented preacher. I preach directly from the Word of God. I don't read a whole lot of poetry. Amen. We don't play Bach and Beethoven here. We have praise and worship to the Lord, and there's some great hymns out there written by some great people. But we want to exalt Jesus in these services. Amen. And we want to encourage people to come into a relationship with Him that you're going to hear a lot about today, the word faith. And faith, I don't really believe faith can be biblically understood or biblically defined because of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Let me tell you what Hebrews 11, 1 says before I read Proverbs 3. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." That is not really a definition of faith that is going to cause you to grow in faith or get into faith. In fact, it's more a statement about what faith accomplishes and what it does when it's in operation than defining the real essence or core of faith. Now, we know without faith it's impossible to please God, but I want to put faith in its proper perspective. We've kind of put faith on a shelf, particularly in the charismatic world. We put faith above love, and it doesn't come above love in Scripture. Amen. I know the Bible said in Ephesians 6 about the armor of God, above all taking the shield of faith, but in the actual Greek, it's not putting it on the top shelf. It's just stopping and pausing in the middle of the enumeration of the armor and saying, and in addition to this, take faith. Not put it above everything else, but make sure that it's part of your armor. Can you say amen? We tend to top shelf things that God hasn't top shelved and bottom shelf things that God has put on the top shelf. Amen. If I have faith to remove mountains and have not love, what does the Bible say it truly profits me? It profits me nothing. Amen. If I speak with tongues of men and angels, sometimes we put gifts above love. When we do that, can you say amen? The Bible said if I don't really truly love and I don't utilize those gifts not for self-edification but for the building up of the brethren. Amen. That means you've got to have a servant heart to use any spiritual gift effectively, right? Let everything be done, the scripture said, and that's in the chapter about gifts. Let everything be done for what? For self-edification or self-exaltation or self-gratification? No. A totally selfless attitude has to come into play when we operate a gift of the Spirit. It's all for the building up of the brethren. It's all for the building up. Till we all come to the unity of faith, to the fullness of the measure of the stature of Jesus Christ, where the body begins, every joint, every sinew, every part of the body supplies every other part of the body what it needs. Can you say amen? When it's done in love, then it's not about the person that's being used. It's about how can I bless the people that are the object of God's great love today. How can I be a blessing, Lord? And it doesn't stop with giving a message or speaking in tongues. It goes on to the actual giving of ourselves in love to one another. Amen? Let everything be done to the what? The edifying. That's why the Bible said if I'm speaking in tongues to edify myself, amen, to just get that good feeling that I get when I do it and not for, there's an ulterior motive inside of me. Amen. So without love, it becomes sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. Without love, faith is disannulled. Though I have faith to remove mountains. And without love, great revelations don't really mean anything. Amen. We can speak about things theologically and accurately, but without love in our heart, it just doesn't communicate God properly. It describes Him, but it doesn't really communicate Him. The apostles wanted to do more than be theologically accurate in a description of God. They wanted to live out a life that showed people what He's like. That's why Paul said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." And that's why Ephesians 5 said, "Be ye followers of God as dear children and walk in love." Amen? Because until we walk in love, we can never tell anybody anything of any real substance about God. Amen. For we've known and believed the love that God has for us. 1 John says, for God is love. He has power, but he is love. That's his essence. That's what makes him up. Amen. So when we model that to the world, then the world begins to see what God is truly like. And Jesus said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Amen. And he went about doing good, the Bible said, and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Isn't that incredible? And he said, this is what your Father's like. This is what your Father will. When you've seen me, you'll know what God is truly like. So when you hear about faith, it can become just a theological term. Even worse, it can become something that is more like some Eastern philosophy or psychology or religion being integrated into Christianity, where this force called faith is going to create a wealth and create all kinds of... Listen, there's only one creator, and it's not the force of faith, it's the Father God. Can you say amen? It's not the force of your faith. See, the idea in that teaching is God has great faith and you can have faith like God. And if God can create, you can create. No, the Bible didn't say, amen. The Bible said have faith in God. Don't try to be God. God doesn't want you to be God. He wants you to trust God. Can you say amen? He didn't create you to horn in on his glory. Amen. When God moves in a Christian's life, he doesn't get most of the glory or some of the glory. He gets all of the glory. Can you say amen? It's no more I that live, Paul said. Amen. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I heard that scripture many times, have the faith in God, being interpreted as have the faith of God. And again, we're trying to move over into a realm that God has forbidden us to move into. Amen? That glory belongs to God. It's not the force of your faith getting things done. It's the love of your God, the power of your God, the grace of your God, the mercy of your God, the faithfulness of your God. This mountain that stands before you shall become as a plain, God said in the Old Testament, not by might nor power, nothing on your part, but by my Spirit, not by the force of your faith. Your faith has to be in God. God moves mountains. Faith doesn't move mountains. Thank you. There's nowhere it says faith moves mountains. I know that in the New Testament, in the book of Mark, it says, if you say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and doubt not in your heart that what you say shall come to pass. How can I doubt not that what I say? Is it because I have the power to move mountains because of my mountain-moving faith? No, it's because God sees that mountain is in the way of his will and purpose. And when I discover the will and purpose of God, and in the name of Jesus command the mountain to move, God, by his Spirit, acts on the mountain. Can you say amen? And when the mountain is removed, my faith doesn't get the glory. My God gets the glory. Can you say amen? Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. I don't want to horn in on God's area. I want him to be the strong one. I want to stay the weak one. Paul said, when I am weak, then am I made strong. And the scriptures went on to give a stern and strong warning. When a man says, behold, I stand, that's when he's in a precarious circumstance and situation. He'd better take heed lest he fall. That is the one who is marked for failure, the one who is self-confident. And you know, there is a teaching on faith that can make you confident in your ability to believe instead of God's faithfulness to keep you. And you need your confidence in the Lord. So there's an Old Testament scripture that's more, it's essential to understanding faith. Everybody say Hebrews 11:1. This is mostly what you're going to hear about faith. This is supposed to be the total definition of faith. Amen. Now faith is the substance. There's the ice cream man. You always know when the ice cream man is coming, I think. Amen. Listen carefully. Or it could be a phone. I don't know. But anyway, sounds more like the ice cream man. Listen carefully. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. When faith is in operation, that is descriptive of what is going to happen in your life. Amen. I used to preach a 3-point sermon. I never forget it. So faith sees the invisible. Amen. Believes the incredible and receives the impossible. Why don't we try saying that? My wife talked about seeing through the eyes of faith. You have to become childlike to just take God at His word. Can you say amen? Faith sees the invisible. Say it with me. Faith sees the invisible. The Bible said, while we look not at the things which are seen, for they are temporal. Everything we see in here that we put so much stock in is passing away. It's temporal. It's transient. Amen. How many know everybody in here is transient? I hate to tell you this, but some of you I've known for 20 years and you have changed. And I hate for you to tell me this. You've known me for 20 years and I've changed too. Don't say whoa yeah, just say amen. We've changed. You know why we're changing? Because we're aging. I hate to tell you this about your car, but if it's over 5 years old, it is changing. Can you say amen? It doesn't smell the same. It doesn't look the same. It doesn't drive the same. It really doesn't. If it's 10 years old, it's really changing. Amen. Your world is changing. Everything is changing. Everything we see is temporal. Everything. Even these bodies. You dwell in a temporary body. Paul called it a tent in the New Testament. Isn't that incredible? He said if this earthly tabernacle were blown down. Amen. And that word in the Greek means blown down by a strong wind. Amen. Did you know a tent can be blown down easily by a strong wind? Amen. We live in fragile, temporary bodies. Amen. And it don't take a whole lot to blow them down. Amen. Amen. The body we're going to get is not going to be like that. When Paul was a tent maker by trade. That's what he did when he, for a living, was make tents. So he used the analogy of tents. When I see the word tabernacle, I think of what we want to build, a wonderful building to accommodate people to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and reach others. But Paul was not talking about a building. He said the word tabernacle in the Greek in that verse of Scripture is the word tent. If this tent was, so they heard it this way. If this tent that we live in, this temporary body. Everybody say temporary body. Temporary body. Amen. This wasn't meant to last forever, the one you have now. It has been harmed by the fall in the garden. It has death dwelling in it. The very last enemy to be destroyed, amen, concerning you and I, is death of the physical part of us. Can you say amen? Death of the soul has already been addressed at the cross through Jesus Christ. And the body has already been spoken for. How many know your body is spoken for? Though the skin worms, Job saw it down through the corridor of time. He said, though the skin worms eat my body, amen. Yet when he comes, and he's coming, I know my Redeemer lives, and when he stands upon the earth, amen. Though the skin worms eat my body, yet in my flesh shall I see the Lord. Can you say amen? Death is not going to be the end of me. Amen. Because I've got a Redeemer. And since death couldn't stop him, death won't stop me. This temporary body is going to be raised. And the New Testament puts it this way. Corruptible, that can die, that can deteriorate. Corruptible is going to put on incorruption. Mortal is going to put on immortality. And our vile bodies that can be destroyed will be fashioned like unto his glorious body. Amen. And that's the body that he came forth with after, amen, that he was resurrected from the dead. He had, and by the way, it wasn't a spiritual body, because when they came to touch him, he said, touch me, Thomas, for a spirit doesn't have flesh and bone. So that settles for me once and for all the question, will we know each other in heaven? Bible does say we'll know as we're known. The Bible said, in my flesh I shall see the Lord. That means what you're looking at right now is what you're going to see in heaven. Amen. So if you don't like what you see now, you're going to be stuck with it. Can you say amen? It's going to be different there. But we're going to be us there. We're going to be us there. Dale's going to be Dale. Ditter's going to be Ditter. Amen. We love her. She's the only person we can do that with without offending them. We're all going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Hallelujah. And we will have a new name. We used to sing that song, there's a new name written down in heaven. The book of Revelation says that I will give you a white stone with a name written on it that no man knoweth. Some scholars believe that new name to be a new revelation of Jesus, a perfect revelation of Jesus. But many scholars believe that just like Peter, when he changed him, thou art Petra, he changed the name. Names were changed to really show forth a change in character, a change in nature. Amen. And one thing is for sure, we're going to be just like Him. So if you want to know what we're going to be like, the Bible said our vile bodies are going to be fashioned after His glorious body. Can you say amen? So everything's going to change. But right now, we're living in the temporal realm, in the temporal world. That's what takes me back about preaching, that deals more with that is passing than that is forever and eternal and that is coming. We've got a lot of preaching today that deals very specifically and consistently about your material needs. And God cares. Don't get me wrong this morning. God cares about your material needs. But He said that is not top shelf. Again, what God puts on top shelf, amen, is that you prosper as, amen, your soul prospers. And when you really begin to grow spiritually, you begin to get your heart more attached to that world than to this world. God begins to prepare us in this world for that world. Can you say amen? And having Jesus in this world that is passing anyway, and food and raiment, He said, don't even ever look to see what others have or don't have. If you have Me and you have life eternal and you have the heavenly city waiting for you and eternity waiting for you and a promise of a new body, praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I like His glorious body. That death cannot conquer, that will live forever and ever. And be content. Don't wait for something else to happen. God takes care of you, gives you food and raiment. Don't envy. My son, the Old Testament says, let not thine heart envy sinners, neither go thou after them. Amen. That's what almost happened to Asaph in Psalm 73. My feet were well nigh gone. I had almost slipped when I was envious at the prosperity of the wicked. Amen. And he said, until I went into the temple, then I saw their end. And when I saw where they were headed, I didn't envy them anymore. And I said, you know, sometimes blessing can become a cursing if because of that blessing, they don't turn to God and they think, I've got it made. I don't need God. Bill Gates is worth now about $58 million, the head of Microsoft. When asked about religion and his any kind of faith, he said, just in terms of the allocation of time, I do not have time for religion. In other words, I'm too busy making money to take time to deal with the hereafter or life. I'm not going to think about that. All I'm going to think about is the here and now. What an incredible blindness. So man in the scripture just like him. He said, my barns are so full, they're running over. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to tear these barns down and build barns that are bigger than those barns, and so that I can accommodate more that I'm grasping to hold on to. But something was going to happen that night, Jesus said, that this man didn't know and didn't prepare for. Something was going to happen that night. He said, you're foolish. This night, your soul is going to be required of you. Then who shall these things be? What is all this going to matter if you're not ready to meet your God? Because tonight, you're not going to build. You think you're going to build bigger barns and keep going and going and going. No, tonight that's going to change. It could be an aneurysm. It could have been a massive heart attack. But tonight, not next week, next year, tonight, all of that's going to change. And whose shall these things be? There's too much emphasis on bottom shelf stuff. Amen. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, for the world passes away. There's that word again. It's transient. It's in flux. It's in a state of change. The ozone is breaking down. Yes, it is. Undeniably, scientifically proven. This world, as it is not going to stay like it is. And you as you are not going to stay like you are either. On a gravestone, I used to read just for, trivia, these writings on gravestones. One man never wanted to be bothered. He said, he had that inscribed on his gravestone. But one of them that was the most poignant was a gravestone that said, "I was once as you are, and you shall soon be as I am." Makes you stop and think when you're walking through a cemetery and something shows up on a gravestone. He wanted to make a point that just because you're in the land of the living doesn't mean you're not going to come where I am. You're headed where I am. Everybody's headed. It's appointed unto man once to die. We tend to crowd that out of our mind because we were not created to die. And we don't want to be morbid and just think about dying. I don't really think about dying. I think about going to be with the Lord. That's exciting. Amen. Yeah, to my brand new apartment in the sky. Hallelujah. And it is the east side too. Amen. Anyway. Eastern Gate. Bill Gates is making no provision for what God said is the most important provision that can ever be made. One day Bill Gates, with all of his wealth and success, fortune and fame, even his good works and foundations he's established, it will mean nothing without Jesus Christ. And unless something happens to interrupt his process, amen, of headed for eternity and giving no thought to it, he will be just like the foolish man in the Bible. Amen. The real issue of the whole gospel is eternal life, whether you have it or not. Amen. I know the Bible said not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works or what be the first principles of the oracles of God. And some people have taken that to mean let's don't talk about the cross anymore. Let's don't talk about eternal things. We've got that settled. Now let's move on to these great revelations and this greater, deeper faith and all of this kind of stuff. Honey, no, it doesn't mean to depart from those foundations. It means that is the foundation you are to build everything else on. Don't lay it again, but once it's laid, build everything on it. And that means the cross is the cross is the cross. And everything is built on Jesus and Him crucified. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And eternal life is still the supreme issue of your faith. Not whether you drive a BMW or not. Amen? And God has taken real good care of us. I'm telling you, He has. I look out in the parking lot, and I believe everything out there would take you home without a jump start. Don't you? Just about. There may be one or two. Might be my truck. Sometimes it has failed in the past, but it's doing good. Only one time, and He came to get me, praise God, and found me too. Amen, which was really wonderful that He was able to find me, praise God. Hallelujah. God is good. I'm glad I know what it's all about, Sister Venable. I'm glad I know where the real peace is. Let me give you the word that's necessary to understand faith and read this scripture. It's the word trust. Faith has to do with your relationship to and with a person that you know well enough to trust. Trust defines faith in the Old Testament better than any scripture in the New Testament. There's no scripture in the, like I told you, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 is not what faith is, it's what it does. I know it says now faith is. That means when faith is in operation, this is what faith looks like. How can you have faith, real faith that brings peace and joy and victory in your life, if you don't trust God? If you're just building a force within you that's supposed to come forth. Be careful of forces, things that involve God being relegated to a force. Because once you get into a force, then that's an inward power that's been developed in you rather than Christ in you. And it's Christ in you that gives you the hope of glory. Can you say amen? Not that we're sufficient as of anything, Paul said, of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of Christ. Our faith is attached to a person. Amen. Not a power, but a person. Amen. It's important because there are Eastern religions that talk about forces all day long, but the Bible's specific. It talks about Jesus. Looking where? Unto Jesus, who is the what? The author and the finisher of your faith. Hallelujah. And that means setting your gaze upon Him, keeping Him in focus. Hallelujah. Oh, it is Jesus. Oh, it is Jesus. It is Jesus down in my soul. I have touched the hem of His garment, and I know that His blood has made me whole. Can you say amen? This is about Jesus Christ. This is about trusting a God that has been made known to us through His Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So the Bible said in Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Trust in the Lord. They that trust in the Lord, the Bible said, shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed. For as the mountains are round about, amen, Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about His people to deliver them. Some trust in horses, some trust in chariots, but we will trust in the name of the Lord our God. Hallelujah. So it comes down to a trust relationship with God. Psalm 37, I believe verse 5 says, how excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the sons of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. It's what they know about Him that causes them to put their faith in Him, or their trust under the shadow of His wings. Can you say amen? Isn't that incredible? That's why God wants you to know Him, because the more you know Him, the more you'll be able to trust Him. So faith begins with the knowledge of God, not just looking at promises, but looking at a person. See, most of the time, we think faith is built by promises. How many has ever seen a promise box? Amen. They're great, because if you've got faith, you can claim promises. The Bible said in Hebrews 11, through faith, they obtained promises. That means every promise God has ever made can be obtained by faith. So if you've got faith, a promise box is great. But you don't get faith from reading promises. Amen. You get faith by beginning to comprehend and understand a person through personal knowledge. I've often used the illustration, if someone suddenly walked through that door that I've never seen in my life and says, hey, preach, I want to buy you a new Cadillac Escalade, and I paid for it. And all you have to do is go down to the Cadillac dealership and tell them your name, and they have the title waiting, and you can have the color that you want. I've already put the money up there for you. I would be highly skeptical. Not that God can do this, but Joe Blow off the street telling me that, I would be highly skeptical. But now if, for instance, Mike inherited $5 million from a rich uncle he didn't even know he had, he said he's done searched out all them unks and he don't know nobody like that. But if he did, and Michael came to me, and I knew Michael, number one, had it to give, had it within his power to do it, that helps build your faith to know he's got the moolah, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Amen. And not only has he got the money, but he loves his pastor. Boy, that's good. He loves me. He's got the power to do this. And I believe him to be a man of his word. I don't believe he's a liar. I don't believe he wants to play that kind of joke on me. Amen. Because I would hate to walk into the dealership of the Cadillac dealership and say, I've come here to get my Escalade. My name is Reverend Robert Venable. They'd say, what? Of course, then I would go to get my pound of flesh from Mike. Amen. But if he had inherited, I knew he had it within his power to do it, and he loved me enough to do it, and he's a man of his word, I know three things about him that now can give me faith to act on his word. If he inherited $5 million and said, God spoke to me, Brother Venable, and told me, and he did it with tears in his eyes because he loves me and wants to bless me to buy you, and I'm not after the Escalade. I'm trying to use an illustration. I'd be happy with a Grand Cherokee, save you some money. And wouldn't feel near as bad when it got scratched. I would go straight to the Cadillac dealership. You know why? Because I trust that he has the power to do it, he loves me enough to do it, and he's a man of his word. Those three things I know about him would cause me to act on his word and obtain the promise. But that's because I trust him. And the only way I can trust him is because I know him. Can you say amen? So if you want your faith built, I know the Bible said faith comes by hearing. Be cautioned about this. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now don't make the Bible, every page of this Bible, some kind of magic power. Amen. There's nothing magic about this. This is a revelation, amen, of a person. Above all, the Bible shows you a person. Shows you God, shows you your Savior. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. Faith doesn't come just by reading promises or portions of scripture that apply to your need. Faith comes by reading this book, and through the reading of this book, getting a clear understanding and revelation of who God really is and what God is really like. Can you say amen? And when you're through with that process, a trust is being built in him. They that do know their God, the scripture said, shall do what? They shall be strong and they shall do exploits. Why? Because when you know him, you can trust him. When you trust him, amen, you can act on his word. Hallelujah. And you'll do exploits. The New International says, be steadfast and you will take action. You will not sit stymied by life, but you will put his word into effect in your life. You'll claim his promises, and you'll by faith, you'll obtain promise. But quit trying to build up a force within you and just get to know the person who loved you, saved you, and gave yourself. The life that I now live in the flesh, Paul said, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The basis of his faith was I was loved by Christ enough that he would die on the cross for me. And here's his analogy. He said if he loved us enough to give us his only begotten son, see, it's what he knows about God. And how will he not also with him freely give us all things? I trust him for everything that I need. Trust in the Lord. Say trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. He has the power. Can you say amen? He's omnipotent, all-powerful. Not only does he have the power, he loves you. He loves me, praise God. Can you say amen? And he is faithful to his word. He's not a liar. He doesn't play games with us. He said, if it were not true, I would have told you. Wow. So he's got the power. He's got the love. He's a God of integrity and truth. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Hath he not said it, and shall he not do it? Can you say amen? But you've got to know him. And he wants you to know him. And Jesus said, I came to show you the Father. When you've seen me, all the mystery about God is being removed in the sense that you can practically, personally know him. Jesus was not hard to get to know. What would Jesus do is so simple to figure out because he was so consistent in who he was. Can you say amen? He didn't have an off day. He loved consistently. Can you say amen? Amen?
Amen. Hallelujah.
Peter couldn't stop that love from flowing to him. Peter's denial didn't change Jesus at all. Changed Peter, but didn't change Jesus. Can you say amen? Oh, isn't it good to know? Paul said if we deny him, yet he can't deny himself. It's not going to change him. It'll change you, your relationship with him, but it won't change him. And if you'll come back, I'm telling you something. God will restore you, praise God. Hallelujah, because God hasn't changed. He don't quit you. He doesn't lock you out of his heart. Love flows from his heart, and it flows consistently. Doesn't mean he's soft on sin. He loves you too much not to chasten you when you're wrong. But even when you're chastened, the Bible said, don't faint. Know him enough. Trust him enough to know that he's not doing it for your hurt, but for your good. If something brought you back to God, if some crisis brought you back to God, and God allowed the crisis because he loved you too much to let you go on like Bill Gates. Bill Gates doesn't belong to him. If you've ever become a Christian, you do belong to him. Can you say amen? And because you belong to him, he loves you too much to let you alone in your folly or your sin. So the Bible said, if you're a child of God, don't faint when chastening comes. If he didn't love you, you would be a bastard and not a son. He would have no responsibility to you, but you are his son. He takes responsibility for you. Someone said he loves us. He accepts us just like we are, but he loves us way too much to leave us that way. Can you say, man, he begins a lifelong work of changing us, but he wants you to trust him through everything. Trust him through everything. Trust him through everything. I remember when things went wrong, and they went so wrong, and I'd stood on so many promises, and things seemed to go against everything I was standing on. I was sitting Ashley Street going down to Kennedy Boulevard to make a radio broadcast, and I really had this problem with my faith, and I said, Lord, I don't understand. I just wish you would tell me what you're up to. I just don't understand what you're doing. I know you're God, and I know that I'm supposed, but Lord, I just don't understand. I don't understand. Lean not to your own understanding, it said. And here I am saying, I don't understand, I don't understand. See, when trust comes into full fruitfulness, you don't always understand, but you do always trust. Amen. I remember the man who said, I don't always know where the Lord leads me, but well do I know my guide. My trust is intact when I don't understand. I can actually trust without understanding because I know that much about my God and his faithfulness. Can you say amen? And his love. One man, I told you the story before, but it's so appropriate to right now. He went down to try to find a particular tribe as a missionary, and you know, they went as far as the four-wheel drive vehicle could go, and then they got out and took a dugout canoe and went as far as the water could take them, and then they got out and found their way through a little trail to a village, and that wasn't the village he was being sent to. But there was another village that another missionary had brought the gospel to, and they were sending this man to follow up. And he hired a guide from that village that they did find to take him to the other village. And as they went back into the jungle, at first there was a path, and then after a while there was no path. And he's following this guide, and they were having to hack through just pure jungle. And now he's disoriented because of the thickness of the jungle, and he don't know which way is north, south, east, west. And he's following this man that's just going forward, hacking through the jungle and saying, follow me, follow me. And after a while, he notices there's no path. And he asked the guide, he said, excuse me. We've been doing this for over an hour, and are you sure we're going the right way? I don't see a path. And the guide confidently turned and looked at him and said, I am the path. In other words, I know how to get there. And all you have to do is follow me, and you'll be fine. Jesus said something very similar. I am the way. Can you say amen? They asked him, what is truth? You know what he said? I am the truth. If you want me to put me in league with all of these other thinkers and stinkers and everybody out there that thinks they know it all, amen, I will not sit with them. I will not enter into a dialogue with them. It stops right here. Amen. I am the truth. And when it says you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free, we're not just talking about Holy Writ on the Bible. We're talking about the one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. They that do know their God will be strong and do exploits. Can you say amen? If you continue in my word, you will know the truth. Not just the truth of the word, but the man who is the truth. Oh, somebody give him praise. Oh, you didn't hear me. There's a man in that Bible. This is a pop-up book. Hallelujah. Marilyn sent me pop-up books for Christmas. The Bible is a pop-up book. You open it just about anywhere and Jesus pops up. If you continue in my word, you'll know what? The truth. Some people just get that so just the word. The word was made flesh. Come on, this is about a person. The reason you faith come by hearing, hearing by the word, because Jesus is the word made flesh. We get instructions from the Word, information from the Word, revelation from the Word, but trust is in the person that the Word reveals. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as the only begotten of the Father. Wow. The reason faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word, because the Word presents a person that you can trust, who is trustworthy. Can you say amen? And you begin to lean on Jesus with your whole life. The life that now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. My trust is in the one who died for me on the cross. That's why I'm faithful. Yeah. Can you say, man, and full of faith? Tell me more about Jesus, more of His love, more of His grace, more of His love my soul can trace. Tell me more about who? Jesus. Your great faith can do it all. Why don't you do it all? I think you need to know more about your God. Some of the people teaching that faith can do it all have been made great by men and women who want the power to manipulate their life according to their own comforts and conveniences. God doesn't give you power to manipulate Him or your life. He just makes everything, the good, bad, and the ugly of life, work together for good to them that love Him and are the called according to His purpose. And the next verse says what His purpose is for everyone in this room, for whom He did foreknow, He did predestine to be conformed to the image of His Son. And Jesus learned obedience through the things that He suffered. And there is some suffering in this world, and God doesn't remove us from it or it from us. But He promises, amen, that no temptation, trial, test, pressure has overtaken you, but such is common to man. But here's where your trust must lie. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that you were able to bear, and will with the temptation make a way of escape that you might be able to bear it. Think it not strange, the fiery trial that's come to try you, as some strange thing has happened unto you. We live in a fallen world in faulty bodies. Don't think it's strange when there's some suffering here in this fallen world. Can you say, man? We can't manipulate God or this world, but we can trust Him through it all. Can you say, man? We can trust. Are you understanding trust better and more descriptive of faith than a force that comes from just reading almost indiscriminate scriptures? Just find a bunch of promises and stand on the Word. Honey, you got to get to know Jesus. It's about intimacy. It's about relationship. It's experiential after a while. It's something that as you go on in the Lord, you begin to learn of His faithfulness. Peter learned about it through his failure more than he ever knew when he saw his miracles and knew how much power he had. It's when he discovered the grace and love of God, when he had failed Him and Jesus loved him and ministered to him, that he fell in love with Jesus and became such a faithful apostle. Can you say, man? He wasn't that because he saw water turn to wine. He wasn't that because he saw the dead raised. He wasn't that because he saw any miracle. It was the miracle of grace and love that transformed Peter. By the way, when he was transformed, it was before the day of Pentecost. It wasn't about power. It was about a person. Amen? Wow. Jesus had not yet ascended, and before He ascended, said, if I don't go to my Father, then this promise of the Father can't come to you. Hallelujah. But I'm here now in my glorified body cooking fish for you and asking for a devoted love because of the love that I'm giving you so freely. And it changed Peter's life. And it made a vacillating man faithful. Hallelujah. Because love believes all things. There's faith. Love bears all things. There's endurance in the time of test. Hallelujah. Love never fails. There's victory. Can you say amen? Love never ends. It's consistency. So God wants you to know Him in a personal, intimate, loving relationship to where even when you don't understand, you can trust Him. And if you trust without leaning to your understanding, He'll take you through something and work it and weave it together in the fabric of your life for good in the end. Good is going to come out of intended evil. Amen. Joseph knew that about God. That's what stabilized him. You meant it for evil. That's why I went into that pit. They believe they cast Joseph. I got to hurry here. But they cast Joseph into a cistern, a broken cistern. They took these dugout places in the ground, lined it with clay to hold water when it rained, like a reservoir. Rain was precious. Water precious in those arid lands. And when there would come a crack in the clay in the bottom, it's like getting a leak in your swimming pool in the bottom. A crack comes, and all of the water kept seeping out. It's good for nothing now. They took Joseph and threw him in a cracked cistern. And down in the bottom of that, they left him there to die. And then they said, you know, we have blood on our hands. God may judge us for that. You know, just don't go too far. We want to get rid of him, you know, because we're jealous of him. So they go haul him out and sell him into slavery. And he ends up at Potiphar's house. And you're asking, where is God? This is the boy that's favored of God getting treated this way. Amen? If he didn't know something about God that was beyond his temporary circumstance, he would have begun to shake his fist at heaven and say, this is what I did. You know, I really don't want to be your favorite. Bummer. I'm blessed. Now everybody hates me. Now I end up here. What did he know about God? He knew somehow in God's sovereignty, grace and love, there was an eternal purpose somewhere. He didn't understand it, but he trusted him. And he didn't have to understand because trust was intact. He got over at Potiphar's house, and guess what? Everything he touched, blessed. And Potiphar said, this is not no normal servant. Everything he does, there's something on it. I'm going to put him in charge of my entire household. So God's blessing come forth because he kept trusting, even sold into slavery. Now he's in charge, amen, of all of Potiphar's house. So what happens now? Is the story over? No, the trials keep on coming. Keep on coming. They just keep right on coming. Trust keeps being tested. He had to know his God. He had to know his God. He had to know his God. Can you say amen? You can't get through that with the force of faith. You got to know your God to get through that. Potiphar's wife comes to him. You talk about a soap opera. Here's a soap opera scenario in the Bible. She comes to him. Her husband goes on business trips because Joseph is taking care of everything so well, he don't have to give it a second thought. Potiphar's wife comes and she's very blatant. She's not trying to seduce him, you know, in some subtle way. She's coming to him blatantly. Sin is aggressive. And she says, lay with me. And he keeps turning her down, turning her down, turning her down. Finally, she takes him and won't turn him loose because he always moves away when she starts that. And she takes a hold of his garment and says, lay with me. And he leaves his garment, his outer garment with her and gets away and says, I will not sin against Potiphar. And I will not break his trust. Amen. And I will not sin against my God. Amen. Now see, he could use the excuse, well listen, serving God hasn't gotten me very much. Look at all the trouble I've had. I might as well to go ahead and just run into sin and see if I can get something out of sin. No, he kept trusting God. He didn't understand, but he kept trusting. Amen. So he's falsely accused. Now she accuses him of sexual assault when he hasn't touched her. And they take him and put him in jail. And in jail, God's blessings come. He's able to interpret the dreams that trouble the king. And they promise to get him out if he does right. And he does right and they don't get him out. And he languishes some more in prison. But finally, Pharaoh recognizes the hand of the Lord on him and pulls him out of jail. And puts him in charge. I'll tell you, trusting God has benefits and blessings. If you can just get through that dark time, just hold on a little while. Can you say amen? Go with him when you don't understand it. There's a blessing ahead. And God, oh, I feel this today. Down in every fiber of my being, amen. All things are working together for good to them that love him. And trust him. And he says, you know, I don't understand this, but here I am now. And Pharaoh says, there's a blessing on this man. I'm going to put him in charge of all the affairs. Now, listen, he went from Potiphar's house to jail, and now a jailbird accused of sexual assault is in charge of all the affairs of Pharaoh's Egypt. How did that happen? Well, I believe one reason it happened, I believe Potiphar knew that his wife was a loose woman and put the move on everybody he'd brought in there. And I think he knew that this man was a godly man. And I don't think he believed it for a minute. And Pharaoh recognized the hand of the... Come on, this guy had a lot of hard time. But he kept trusting his God. He had to know something. You can't just paste scriptures on your refrigerator and get this kind of faith. So he's sitting in charge of all the affairs of Egypt. And God tells him, said, a famine's coming. And he goes and tells Pharaoh, said, plant double crops this year. Because a year of no crop is coming. God has let me see this. Plant double everything. And let's store it up and it'll take us through the famine. Pharaoh said, man, I'm glad I got you. I'm glad I got the jailbird accused of sexual assault that was sold into slavery. Can you say amen? I'm glad I got you sitting here running things. Amen? But you know, back in the back of his mind, he's thinking, what is Israel going to do? Because every time they have a need, they buy their grain from Egypt. Where will they get grain? You know, maybe all of this is for that. Maybe all of this is to preserve Israel. Maybe all of that seemingly suffering that I have went through is so I can have a significant role in the preservation of the nation of Israel when a famine is coming that's going to kill beast and man. Can you say amen? Oh, maybe God has brought me to this place for such a time as this. Can you say amen? Oh, I didn't have to know that to trust him, but now I'm seeing the benefit of trusting him, the blessing of trusting him, the significance of trusting him. Even when I didn't understand, God is God, and God is at work, and love has not abandoned me nor forsaken me like my brothers. And he did that, the famine hit, and sure enough, some people came from Israel, an entourage from Israel, to seek corn in the time of famine from Egypt. And it was his brothers that sold him into slavery. And what an opportunity, amen, to give it to them like they gave it to him. I'm so glad y'all came. Yeah. When he saw them, his heart went out. Because he knew God did this. All of this that was meant for evil. And was entirely meant for evil. God in his sovereignty. God in his eternal purpose. God in his great love for Joseph and the nation. Preserved both Joseph and now is getting ready to preserve Israel. And these jealous boys that would resort to the death of their youngest brother out of jealousy because of the blessing and the favor that God had given him and their dad had given him, they're going to become the leaders of the 12 tribes of Israel. This event that is going to melt their hearts is going to change their lives. They're going to be loved in spite of their bad selves. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? Can you say amen? And that love, come on, there it is again. The same thing that transformed Peter is getting ready to transform them. Undeserved love. I said undeserved love. I said undeserved love. Undeserved love. When he sees them, his heart goes out. He understands his destiny. He's glad he trusted his God. And he steps forward and reveals himself to them. I'm the brother. We've all changed, but I'm your brother. How's my daddy? How are you? Be it well with you. They thought, dear Lord, he could kill us right now. He could order us slain. He could reveal our sin. He could say, send me somebody else because these guys caused me such heartache and trouble. He send me somebody else. Good to know that no matter what is intended evil against you, God can work it together for good. So don't get bitter at the people who want to hurt you. Keep your trust in the one that's going to help you. Can you say amen? Stay sweet, never get bitter, and God will bless you if you'll trust him through it. I want you to know me so that you may trust me, saith the Spirit of God. I want you to know me so that you will not waver when the storms of life come. Never doubt for one moment that I love you, and never doubt for one moment that I, the Lord, am in control, saith the Lord. Yea, keep your trust in me. I will take you through without even the smell of smoke, saith the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. That's how he took the three Hebrew children through their fiery trial. There won't be residue of that on you. No bitterness, nothing in your life tainting you or taking the joy of Jesus from you. Hallelujah. You'll be better and not bitter if you go through it and keep trusting God. And then he looked at them and he said, I'm not disqualifying what you did. You meant it for evil. There's a God I serve who meant it for good. And no matter where I landed, his good overcame the intended evil. His good always won. And today, because of his goodness, I'm going to embrace you with forgiveness. And I have been chosen by God to be where I am today through all these events that were so negatively seemingly in my life, to preserve Israel through this famine. I get to bless my people and my country and my brethren. Go and tell them they can have all the grain they need, because God brought me here because you put me there. Whew. Hello? Oh, yeah, yeah. Hey, we all make them sweat a little bit, don't we? I see people in audiences that have lost their joy every Sunday. There are people without God's peace every Sunday that I minister to that have been going to church for 20, 30 years and yet haven't come into a trusting relationship with God, that no matter what circumstance you're in, Paul said, I know how to abound. That means I know how to be blessed without becoming self-sufficient, selfish, and prideful, and boastful. Can you say amen? You got to know how to be blessed without falling into pride and self-sufficiency. He said, but I also know how to be abased. I know how to be beat within an inch of my life and get up and preach without malice in my heart. I know how to abound, and I know how to be abased. I know how to stand on Mars Hill where they say the gods have come down unto us. And they would have almost worshipped him, but he rent his garment and said, I'm a man like you are. And I know how to be shipwrecked and in the deep for a day and night. And I know how to be naked and hungered and in peril of sword. And whether I abound or am abased, I have learned in Jesus Christ, whatever state I'm in, therewith to be content. Because he said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. So there's nowhere I am that love doesn't reach me and help me and sustain me and hold me and bring me through. Can you say amen?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Somebody give God praise in this room today. Hallelujah. Will you stand to your feet this morning? Let's give him some praise.